you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome in to the Week 17 CSS DFS Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. To my left is the beautifully handsome and always on time and dressed well, Mike Clay. I was just trying to think of nice things to say. I'm sorry.
You were really struggling, man.
It wasn't a struggle. I mean, I say nice things. I didn't want to say the same thing all the time.
You're like, what did I start?
You wore shoes and you've got a button-up shirt, and that's great.
I mean, this is a lot for this, you know, with the way 2020 has gone. Just, I spend a lot of time just sitting at my computer in my house or playing with my kids in sweatpants.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, like I said, on when I filled in for Matthew in the Fantasy Football Now a few weeks ago, that was the first time I wore dress pants in about a year.
That's so
like
good.
Week 17 last season when I was on Fantasy Football Now in week 17, that might have been the last time I wore dress pants between that point and a couple weeks ago on the show. So it's been, you know,
I can't tell you the last time I wore dress pants. My dress pants are a pair of like khaki colored jeans that I fit with other outfits, but they're still like jeans, so they don't count, like, you know. Yeah. On the other side is our good friend Al Zeidenfeld with that gorgeous salt and pepper beard.
Speaking of people wearing sweatpants right now.
Exactly. Al, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I mean, I'm just proud of you guys for putting on pants every day and getting into the studio. It's something to aspire to.
Yeah, it sure is. I gotta tell you, Al, I really do love the salt and pepper. Mike, yours is starting to come in a little bit. I'm hoping I get a little salt and pepper in there soon.
If I don't shave it, if I don't trim it, it's definitely there.
Like, you see
pretty
it?
Pretty severe, yeah. So, and I'm okay with it.
I think it's a good look.
I'm not ready to go quite that direction yet with the full beard. People listening to this right now are like, what are they talking about? Like, they can't see us, but yeah, maybe someday.
I got a lot of hair stuff. I decided to do something different today. I went hippie on top and then party in the back. So I got a man bun with stuff down.
Looks good as usual.
So let's talk about last week where Mike Clay, surprisingly, obviously, beat me in DFS. It is now tied 8-8 through 16 weeks of the season. We are tied in the final week of the regular season.
I was going to say it's high drama, but sort of, because we're playing through the playoffs too.
Yeah.
But, well, it's like, whatever. Well, you know, we'll see who has home field advantage for the playoffs, I guess.
I like that. Home field advantage for the playoffs. A huge congratulations to Wesley Georgievich.
I think that's it.
I think that'll be close. 197.38 bringing home our free weekly contest. Unlimited participants. Again, free to enter. $200 in prizes. So congratulations, Wesley, on bringing home the W last week. We're going to do it again this week, as we always do. Mike is going to tweet out a link. I will retweet that link sometime. Yeah. We'll
maybe you will if you feel like it.
We'll do some more DFS stuff. Let's talk about this week, man. There are so many things to get into. I hate to postpone everything. So let's just get right into quarterback, Mike. And I hate that you're doing this and that we're starting the show this way, but it always feels like you guys just want to take shots at me every single week. Kirk Cousins is the quarterback we're going to start the show with, taking on the Detroit Lions, $6,300. Is this just the idea of price point matchup? Just too many good things fall into place here for you to not find a way to get Cousins in your lineup.
Yeah, and bear with me because you'll like me when we get to running back.
But
quarterback, I do like Kirk Cousins this week at $6,300. I wanted to go initially with Josh Allen, but I'm worried there's a chance that he'll rest if the Steelers are getting blown out by Cleveland, which is a real possibility. So keep that in mind, even though he does seem like a good value. So I'm going to go to Kirk Cousins here again. A lot cheaper than Allen, $6,300 at Detroit. 10th highest priced quarterback in the slate. Look, this guy has 17 or more fantasy points in 11 of 15 games. So he's given you a pretty good floor most weeks. He's had a couple random duds, but overall he's been pretty solid in cash. 220 yards and 3 touchdowns on 20 attempts in the first meeting. Only 20 attempts, still at 220 yards. Generally, you're going to project a higher number of pass attempts. It's possible that they come out and they're up 28-3 and they just run the ball a ton. It's possible, but I think they will throw more in this game without Dalvin Cook. And just to put some numbers on this Lions pass defense, the most fantasy points and touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks with 41 touchdowns to quarterbacks this season. 8.4 yards per attempt is the highest in the league. They've allowed 31 or more points in 4 of their past 5. They've allowed 4 or more quarterback touchdowns in all 4 of those games. And, did you see
did you see
that game against the Bucks last week?
Yeah. Don't.
Oof. 491 passing yards.
Wasn't good.
Last week against the Buccaneers and 6 touchdowns through the air. Just, whew, man, they are they're not getting better. You know, a lot of teams like the Falcons, for example, other teams will make a coaching change or a big change, and they'll, you know, a little bit of an improvement. The Lions, it's been the opposite. So I think there's nowhere to go but up for next season. But this year, it is just a mess.
Yeah, there's one more week to stay the same.
Yeah,
and you know, last week, to be fair, the Lions had a number of their coaching staff. They weren't able to come in because of the COVID outbreak that they had and everything like that. So when they did that, they were without their head coach, without their defensive coordinator, a bunch of things. However, they're just not a good defensive team. That's not an excuse for all the things that are going on. So I'm with you there on Kirk Cousins, unfortunately. He seems like a really great play this week. Al, I want to talk to you about Ryan Tannehill, who is now having his highest price all season long,
$70,000. My note says 70,000.
Oh, yeah, wow.
This is a bold call at 70,000.
Kind of a record. Yeah, he's you know, he's 40% higher than the ceiling price for an entire roster.
Right, right.
But I think you squeeze him in.
Listen, $7,000, in all honesty, for what Ryan Tannehill has been this year, still seems like it's too low to me.
Okay, he is the cheapest of the quarterbacks that have rushing upside on this slate. So every single quarterback who can run the football is priced at 7K and above. Him at 7K, Herbert can run it a little bit, Russ Wilson 7,300, Kyler 75, Josh Allen 76, Sean Watson 77. So I'm getting access to somebody that's got a good rushing floor, and he's going up against a really bad defense in Houston, one that we have attacked and targeted with running backs and with quarterbacks for basically the whole year. They've got the fourth highest touchdown rate allowed at 5.6%, and they've allowed a league high 69.8% completion rate. So a very efficient quarterback, especially when utilizing play action. Tannehill has an opportunity here to really post some big numbers. And over his last, four of his last five games, he's either got three passing touchdowns or a rushing touchdown. So solid enough floor, good leverage against all the people that are going to be playing Derrick Henry, and rightfully so against Houston. But they're not totally mutually exclusive. We've seen Tannehill have three touchdown games and Derrick Henry run for 150 and a touchdown. So even if you think Henry's going to go off, does not mean that Tannehill won't. But Daniel, I wanted to address the one thing that you mentioned. We're not picking on you. We pick on bad defenses. Right now, the Lions have a bad defense, and it's kind of bringing me back to that Goodwill Hunting scene where I just want to look at you in the eye and say, Daniel, it's not your fault.
Don't.
It's not your fault.
Don't.
It's not your fault.
I love you guys. I love you guys so much.
Look, I want to go back too, because I take offense to the disrespect for John Walford there. All the running quarterbacks are 7K or up. What is that about, Al? Wow. Come on, man.
That's fair.
Come on.
This is not an AAF fantasy league. He has to play an actual real life defense that cashes NFL checks now.
We'll
and
see.
Look, he can run, so he gives you a good floor. And again, he's super cheap. He's like 4,900. So if you want to take that leap on the Rams backup quarterback who is now starting here, he gives you at least a little bit of a floor at the price. And you know, if he scores 15 to 18 fantasy points in a pace up situation, sure.
Yeah. I mean, you got a couple cheap options, right? Which we'll get to here in a second. But he's very, 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 very risky.
Very.
That would be a bold move in cash for sure. But anyway, just having some fun with John Walford. So that's going to be a fun one to watch, at least.
And I think I'm in on Tannehill. I mean, the Texans are not somebody that you're super worried about from that perspective. So obviously, everything that Al talked about, like, it's definitely a defense that can be had, even if Derrick Henry does, get in a lot of work on the ground. So couple of the quarterbacks that we like, just going to list them off here. Deshaun Watson, $7,700, taking on Houston. Josh Allen, Mike, you had mentioned, assuming that he plays. I mean, it's tough because you want to make sure that you're starting somebody that is going to be, you know, on the field for the entire game. And that's just one of those things. Welcome to a Week 17 slate where these are things that you have to look at and think about as you go into constructing your lineup.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people might not be thinking about that too, which is maybe another reason to stay away, right? If people are just like, Josh Allen, he lit the Dolphins up when they played earlier this season. I'm just going to throw him in there.
Yep.
You know, if he gets set, you know, set down in the fourth quarter, it might not look so hot, or even at halftime, if it's 30-0 Browns crushing the backups of the Steelers. So just something to consider there. He may play the full game. We don't know. Sean McDermott said they have a plan. He won't tell us what it is, but usually they don't say that if the plan is all systems go normal, right? Usually there's a plan in mind, and that could involve resting a player like Josh Allen. So just keep that in mind when setting your lineup.
Quick question. I want to ask you about Matt Ryan, because I feel like there's a lot of back and forth here with Matt Ryan. Week 11, 7 fantasy points, 7 DraftKings points. Week 12, 14. Week 13, 14. Week 14, 10. So like all under 15. And then the last 2 weeks, he's had 30 and 22. Mm-hmm. So are we going to see, or do you believe there'd be more of a regression to the mean here with what we've seen from him earlier in the season? Or do you think that he's just a good tournament play based on the upside that he could potentially have?
It's just all about price and volume, right? He gets a lot of volume in that offense. They're playing the Bucks. They're going to have to throw the football. And Ryan has been in this, if you go back and listen to all of our shows, he's been in this other option column like almost every week because his price has just been so low. And it wasn't hitting there for a while. Like every week we had him there and we're like, why? His price keeps going lower and lower and lower. And we keep lowering expectations for him, but the price is like overcorrecting for his performance. And finally, it's kind of come to fruition, right? He's finally starting to pay off the price tag. So I think he's fine. I think he's one of the best values in the slate at $5,900.
Okay. Also, Mason Rudolph, $4,300 if you are feeling bold against Cleveland. Obviously, no Big Ben this week. Something to think about, but that's a risky move as well.
Yeah, he just needs 12 or 13 points. You know, Al talks about that all the time. What do you need to hit to pay off value? And if you spend $4,300 a quarterback, that's a good, compared to, say, a Tannehill or Kirk Cousins, you're talking about another $2,000, $2,500 you could spend on another position. So, at least consider it. I don't think you need to do it because there's enough value place this week, but it's an option.
Okay.
We Let's just talk have about to hope some... that he doesn't get hit in the head with a helmet.
That's correct. Right. Yes, we're going to assume that doesn't happen. Yeah. Let's talk about some running backs. And Mike, I'm really excited to see this. You have DeAndre Swift listed here. $6,300 taking on the Minnesota Vikings, the opposite side of what we talked about at quarterback. But I'm curious, do you believe that Swift at $6,300 is enough in cash and not just for tournaments?
I like him in all scenarios. I think there's a lot of ways you could kind of put him together here. I mean, the thing that you would do in a tournament, of course, would be a Viking stack, and you would have Swift on the other side. But in a cash setting, Swift is fine on his own. $6,300, again, he's the 15th highest priced running back in the slate for a guy who's been basically delivering as an RB1, a top 10 play. He is a top 17 fantasy running back in 7 of his past 9 games. The floor has been tremendous there. He's played 70% of the snaps over the past 2 weeks. He has exactly 5 targets in 5 straight games, 4-plus in all but one game this season. So you get that floor in the passing game. 97 yards on 16 touches in the first game against the Vikings. So we already see some history of him doing well against his defense. And speaking of defenses that struggled last week, the Vikings allowed 71 fantasy points to Saints running backs last week. Of course, Alvin Kamara with the 6 touchdowns, and they had 282 scrimmage yards as well in that game. Obviously, do I need to say it? They're not doing good against running backs. Mm-hmm. Not so good as of late. So Swift in a good spot against his defense. Like the price point, like the playing time, like everything.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Fun. He's going to be a fun guy to draft next year.
I agree with you.
I think the hype's going to get out of control, and that worries me, but I'm pumped for him.
I also want to say, like, just throw out whatever you see in his game log from last week, like that Tampa game with Detroit looking so bad. Like, that doesn't factor into my thought process as a part of deciding him for this week.
And he still played a high volume of the snaps.
Yeah.
Still got a decent amount of work. Again, he had, what did I say, 5 targets in that game. So even in really bad conditions, they left him out there. He got some run. It's a good spot.
Okay. Al, let's talk about Jonathan Taylor, because he's somebody I feel like you've liked a lot, taking on Jacksonville, which is just a money situation. $7,400 here. Talk to us about Taylor.
I mean, Jacksonville's got Lawrence in their eyes, and Jonathan Taylor's got the end zone in his eyes with 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games. He's also had between 16 and 26 touches every single week since like week 11. Jacksonville's tied for the 4th worst goal to go defense. He is now taken over all of those inside the 5 carries over the last month or so, has Jonathan Taylor. He's their best back. I've been saying this for a while. It feels like I say this every single week, and I just hope that maybe Frank Reich tunes in to the podcast and then hears that and goes, Jonathan Taylor is our most talented back. We should give him the ball more. He should play more snaps. This shouldn't be a 3-headed monster. And finally, here we are, and he's getting the lion's share. He has a good volume, good floor of snaps, good floor of touches, very active in the passing game, not like Alvin Kamara active in the passing game, but good enough. He's been very efficient in the passing game, something that Jacksonville does allow. A league high 83.2% of running back targets get completed against them. They're allowing 117 rush yards per game to opposing running backs, the 3rd most in the league. And we have big splash ability, both in the passing game and in the running game for Jonathan Taylor. Big playability, kind of like a Derrick Henry or a Nick Chubb, but he comes in like 2,000 less than Derrick Henry. So you're getting like Derrick Henry light with work in the passing game and saving 2K.
Love that. 4 straight weeks of 19 points on DraftKings at a $7,400 price point. He just feels like he's too good to pass up, Al. Love that call. I want to bring up a conversation to you guys here, because obviously there's a couple things as far as injuries going on this week. I want to start with the Vikings. Dalvin Cook not being in the lineup this week. Obviously, Alexander Mattison and Mike Boone are the two options here. Mike, I'm going to start with you, Mike, and then we'll talk Al for tournament. But like, do you like any of these guys and their price points based on where they're at? Because Mattison, I still think, is like $6,100.
That's exactly right. He's $6,100. There's major upside here in a game, obviously, against Detroit, who has struggled. It's not at that price point. He's not one of them guys that just jumps off the page like you have to start him, right? It's not one of those price points, but he is a good play. You know, he's certainly in, I would say, the 80th, maybe the 90th percentile here. You know, we talked about this on the season long podcast earlier today, that, you know, that last game where everyone started him when Cook was out earlier this season, he disappointed, but it was a game where they ran 50 snaps and they were playing from behind. They threw it a lot. He didn't get a ton of opportunities. In this game, we expect quite the opposite. If they're ahead, he should be able to run the ball quite a bit and could have 20 or 25 touches in this game. So I think Mattison is a perfectly good cash play or tournament option. You also have Mike Boone. He'll be mixed in. He's at 4K. Again, if we're talking tournaments, there's a dart throw for sure. And Amir Abdullah as well also comes in at 4K. And again, just a great matchup against Detroit. There's a lot of fantasy points to be had here.
Absolutely. Al, anything you want to add from that perspective?
I mean, Mattison was limited at practice on Wednesday. If he clears concussion protocol, he's the play. If not, we have Mike Boone, who last year in week 17 posted something like 20 touches and 130 plus scrimmage yards. So he's 4K and is going to be a free square if Mattison can't clear protocols.
Sure, sure. Want to look at the Rams running back situations now as well, because obviously there is stuff going on there. Daryl Henderson trying to figure out with Cam Akers and all of that. So, Mike, when you look at this Rams backfield, what gives you a little bit of like trust or confidence that you could start them this week in DFS?
Yeah, it's tricky because let's say Cam Akers is cleared. He's 6,100 as well, just a little bit less than DeAndre Swift. Let's say he clears and he's going to play. Do we expect 100% Cam Akers when he's going to be so close to playing? I mean, I know there's no Daryl Henderson, but that would make me nervous for sure. Also, you're not going to have Jared Goff there. This offense may not score many points. There's a lot of reasons to be worried here for Cam Akers. But if he's out, it's going to be the Malcolm Brown show.
Yeah.
I mean, Raymond Calais is there, the backup running back. I mean, you have I'm drawing a blank on the other back there.
I don't
know. I wrote these down probably and been prepared. Who is it?
Xavier Jones.
That's it. Xavier Jones, he also prepared. So those are the other backs there. You would expect Malcolm Brown to handle a gigantic bulk of the touches in that situation. He's a guy that's been, at times, has been used at the goal line. Certainly, he's been used in the passing game as well. And at his price point, 4,300, I don't know how he will not be in my lineup if Cam Akers doesn't play. If he plays, though, it complicates things, because if Akers active, he's going to have some sort of role. It could be 10 touches. It could be 20 touches. We don't know. But if he's out, I like Brown. And it is a decent matchup. Arizona has struggled, especially lately, against running backs.
Okay. All right, another couple guys that we really like here, want to mention. Melvin Gordon, $5,700, taking on Las Vegas. That seems like a really good value for Melvin Gordon this week.
Yeah, no Phillip Lindsay still.
Ty Johnson, obviously no Frank Gore this week, $4,300, taking on the Patriots. Dario Ogunbowale, $4,500 with no James Robinson. So, you know, even though it's Indy, you still think there's going to be a good workload there as a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Smith, $4,000, understanding there's no CMC and no Mike Davis this week. So somebody to keep an eye on, a low price running back there that should have a good amount of workload. Ronald Jones, $5,900, taking on Atlanta. How about Jeff Wilson Jr., $6,000 against Seattle this week? It feels like he could be in line for, I mean, last week he had 200 plus scrimmage yards. So trying to project that ahead, what is it that you like about Wilson this week in that $6,000 price point?
I like the fact that every single year, Kyle Shanahan's offenses, his running back rooms are tremendous in fantasy. Now, Is one running back from that group tremendous? Not necessarily. Usually maybe like a good RB2, because they like to use two or three backs all the time. Think about Raheem Mostert, what he has done. Tevin Coleman at times. Certainly Wilson at times as well. But last week, it was the Wilson show. He was the feature back, right? He handled a bulk of the carries. I believe it was 22 out of 25 of their running back carries. Only had the one target, but before that had three straight games with four-plus targets. So he is the guy, by all accounts. He'll be the guy again this week. They just haven't seemed to like Jerick McKinnon or Tevin Coleman as of late. So at 6K against Seattle, he's going to be a hard guy to bench in cash this week.
All right, what about Alvin Kamara? And this is just like a general conversation. Obviously, anytime you have a player coming off of what is a basically historic week at the position, it's so hard to feel like, all right, yeah, well, yeah, like I would like to that, you know, to ride that ride. But last week is last week. Do you think that projects at all ahead to this week? Because Kamara has struggled to be the Kamara that he was last year on a weekly per game basis. With his pass catching hasn't been there as much this year when Taysom Hill was under center.
With Taysom,
there was a lot of that. Yeah, so I just don't feel like.
You mean earlier this season, not
correct.
Last year?
Yes,
right?
Earlier. Sorry, yes, earlier this season.
Yeah, I think he made up for that last week. He showed his upside last week. Obviously, it was a huge rushing performance for him compared to usual. No question about it. But Drew Brees is back. He's going to see 20%+ of the targets. There's no Michael Thomas. He's still one of their primary pass catchers. He gets a decent chunk of the rushing workload. It's still a game they need to win. But I do see a stat here. I assume Kyle put this here, and I need to know the sample size. 100% of players coming off a 6-rush touchdown game ran for a touchdown the following week. What's the sample there, 2?
1.
Is it 1?
Yeah.
It's 1, Kyle?
It's 1. I'm looking at Kyle off in the distance. He's giving me the
okay,
finger.
And that was in the
and I think 1920s? It's a 1. I think the finger is a 1. So I
that was in the 1920s, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's fair.
We're not going to make any decisions based on that stat. That's very important. But
how does this
Kamara is good at football, and at 9,500, he is a fine value.
So how does this work, Al, when you see a player like this, and maybe there's not, I should have brought this up. Unfortunately, I was taping the fantasy show when we had our meeting this yesterday, so I apologize for not asking this question then. Yes. But Al, I'm curious, when you have a guy like this that has such a huge week, and then you look at their rostership for the following week when you get into tournaments, like is it one of those things where people just decide they want to be on it based on what happened last week, or are players a little bit smarter than that and you just don't see an overabundance of, kind of like a recall to that?
I think that you're going to see different things happen at different buy-in levels. I think at high stakes, you're going to see a little bit less of that. You're going to see people being the dude from The Princess Bride who clearly can't choose Kamara in front of me because he had 6 touchdowns last week, but I clearly can't fade Kamara who's sitting in front of you because he's too good of a play and you're not going to play him. And then at low stakes, yeah, I think you're going to see people that are chasing the ball around the roulette wheel or playing whack-a-mole or however you want to explain this. Oh, he was a really good play last week. He's a really good play this week. Every one of the high-dollar running backs this week is in a great matchup. Montgomery against Green Bay. We've been streaming running backs against them all season long. Kamara against Carolina. We've been playing running backs against them all season long. Minnesota was going to be Dalvin Cook against Detroit. Same situation. Derrick Henry, same situation. And the very interesting thing about a Week 17 slate, because of everybody who rests and because of all the players that are just taking the week off or they're locked into playoff position or whatever, it's always kind of a stars and scrubsy sort of week where there's going to be ton of value at running back between 4 and 5K that we already mentioned. And when we get to wide receiver, there's a lot of guys under 4K. So if you want to pay for Derrick Henry or Alvin Kamara or any expensive player, you can probably get your way there in a roster because there's tons of value on this week's slate. And we're not even done deciphering all of it because the week's not over yet. We don't know. We don't have the Shefty news dump from Saturday night when we'll define where all of the value is.
It's funny because we did talk about that on the call. The fact that when I processed all the projections against pricing, I was like, It was a weird week. Like it showed up, and you'll see this if you use our ESPN Plus value charts. It showed up like it loves a lot of high-end guys this week. It does because I guess because there's so many also top-end guys with good matchups and also a lot of low-end guys so you could fit into your lineups and kind of jam them in there as punt options. So there's no question. I agree with Al. It's definitely a stars and scrubs sort of week.
So speaking of stars, I'm going to just move right ahead to wide receivers because Davante Adams, $9,200. Taking on the Chicago Bears. It's like every week, it almost doesn't make a difference what it feels like that price point is, Mike, because he delivers every single week. Any fear this week, $9,200 with this final game, week 17, that you wouldn't want to go this route?
Yeah, look, $9,200 for a wide receiver makes me nervous, right? I don't feel super comfortable about it, but Davante Adams is on another level, right?
Yeah.
It's not even fair, the damage he has done this season, just single-handedly. I complained on the season-long podcast about Jimmy Graham, a guy had an injury at tight end. Hunter Henry, he was on a COVID list. He plugged in Jimmy Graham. I was like, are you kidding me? As I'm watching him just light it up as a backup tight end for the Bears. But I had Adams, so he just completely saved my week and won me that championship. So,
so good.
Thank you, Davante Adams. Awesome performance there. But he's been doing this all season long. Look, he's missed 2.5 games this season. He's the number one fantasy receiver by 13 points, just dominating the NFL. 18-plus fantasy points in 9 of his past 10 games. He's averaging 30 points during that span, so well above where we need him to get for value. The Bears, by the way, struggling with injuries, right? We think about them as a very good defense, and they are a very good defense, but they've allowed the 10th most fantasy points to receivers over the past month. They've been missing two of their top three corners. Jalen Johnson looks like he's going to be a good player at corner opposite Kyle Fuller. He's been out. Buster Skrine in the slot has been out as well, and teams have taken advantage, much like, you know, Baltimore as well. Without those top talents, teams have taken advantage, and Devontae Adams can do that this week. 61 yards and a touchdown in week 12 for Adams against his Bears defense. He actually has 7 touchdowns in his past 9 games against the Bears. So he's had success as well against a defense that's been very good in this league for quite a while.
Heck yeah. When you watch Devontae Adams just running, just like right eye test, and I don't always love the eye test thing, but like when you watch him on the field, the routes that he runs, he just looks like he's literally better than everybody else that's out there. Like it's a mismatch, regardless of how good the cornerback on the other side is, because he's so crisp, he's so fast, he's so strong. He's like, he's otherworldly.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for, and you know, what we've learned, I think, in recent years as we just get more and more advanced and smarter people start joining the industry of studying the NFL is just how important separation and route running is. Mm-hmm. Well, route running is an extension. Obviously, you run good routes, you can get separation, but that's why guys like Deontay Johnson just keeps getting 10 targets a game, because, you know, he'll drop and drop and drop passes, but he's wide open.
Yeah.
So they just keep throwing it to him.
Yep.
And that's super important. And Adams is obviously great at getting open, and he has the league MVP, if we're being honest, throwing him the football. Aaron Rodgers has been tremendous this season, having maybe the best year of his career, to be completely honest. So that connection's been terrific, and I don't think it's going anywhere this week. I'm sure he'll just keep going right back to his old friend Devontae Adams. And the Bears, by the way, do not shadow either, so we don't really need to worry about that. It should be a good day for Adams.
All right, Al, I want to come to you and talk about Curtis Samuel, $5,300 taken on the Saints. You took Curtis Samuel in your cage matchup against Matthew Berry this week. Yeah. I am assuming that this has to do a little bit with the idea of no CMC, no Mike Davis. You think that there's going to be increased potential for Curtis Samuel here?
Yeah, I mean, they've utilized him in the run game all season long since the CMC injury. So, like, he's their Swiss Army knife. He gets a lot of touches in a lot of creative ways. And once they get into the red zone, maybe not inside the 5-yard line carries, he's not getting those high leverage carries, but they are handing him the ball between the 5 and the 20, where he's getting extra designed scheme touches to get him the ball in situations where he can win. He's had 28 targets over the last 4 games. They're rolling him out there in a really high floor manner, and he has not scored a touchdown in any of those games, but he has achieved value, or at least for his threshold, 3 of those 4 on volume alone. I love players that do that. I think that you're going to need a mid-range wide receiver in your lineups this week. You can clearly punt a couple of positions and just go complete stars and scrubs, but you're going to have to find somebody in that mid-range. I think Samuel's my favorite guy in that mid-range price that kind of unlocks everything else you want to do with your lineup.
I like it. I like that thought process. And if you're trying to find that mid-range guy, I'm totally with you, understanding that they're going to find ways to be able to get him the football the way that they have, especially without Mike Davis and CMC. So let's talk about a couple of other wide receivers here. And if you want to go with a pricey wide receiver, I know that, you know, we got a couple of different tiers we're going to talk about here. So Calvin Ridley, $8,500 taking on Tampa. Mike, is this one of those situations where you're looking at whether Julio is going to play this week, or is Calvin Ridley independent of that?
Yeah, Jones did not. Initially, I didn't really like Ridley as a value this week, but Julio Jones did not practice again on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure about today, but assuming he doesn't play, Ridley, a tremendous value. I mean, he's been getting right around 30% of the targets in this high volume Falcons offense. No question, at $8,500, he's a terrific option. But if Jones is back, I don't feel quite as strong.
Sure. How about some mid-range guys? I know we already talked about, Al talked about Curtis Samuel, but DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, both right in that, you know, $5,500, $5,600, $5,700 range taken on the Saints. Is there a chance that we could just put in all of these Panthers receivers here and they could work for value for us this week?
Yeah, I mean, don't go Teddy and then...
And then all three
Moore, Anderson, Samuel. That's not going to work out for you.
Don't tell me what to do.
I mean, maybe it will. I guess if they score 40 on one of the best defenses in the NFL, I guess it's possible.
Yeah,
that could happen.
Darn right it's possible.
Yeah, so, but go ahead. You should do that in your lineup.
Stop
against
it. I will.
You should do that.
How dare you.
But yeah, look, their values, they've been all season. They don't, you know, they just, they've been really good. Anderson started off really well and has come down a little bit. Moore's been a little bit boom bust this season, but they've both been playing well above their price points.
How about Mike Williams? He's only $5,000 right now taking on Kansas City. He hasn't been everything that I've hoped he would be, but without Keenan Allen, or at least a limited Keenan Allen, if he does roll, it feels like going against Kansas City that they, you know, he could be the number one guy from that sample.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's enough of a sample here, but What we've seen so far this season is if someone goes down like Keenan Allen goes out, Justin Herbert will throw the ball to Mike Williams 10 times, right? And when Williams and Keenan Allen were limited, we saw both Jalen Guyton and Tyron Johnson see a ton of volume in a high pass volume game. So we saw last week. Williams, I believe, had 10 targets in that game without Keenan Allen last week. And Allen, of course, will not play this week. So I like Mike Williams, and as we'll get to here in a second, I like Guyton as well.
Okay. What about Laviska Shenault? $4,200. Just another guy we want to mention real quick, taking on Indianapolis. A few punt guys, Mike. And I'm going to just rip through them, and you can stop me when you want to mention something
just
here.
Just go through them. Go ahead.
Jalen Guyton, $3,400, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. A really great cheap option. Josh Reynolds, $3,200. Van Jefferson, $3,000, taking on Arizona. I feel like that is understanding, obviously, no Cooper Kupp from that standpoint.
Yeah.
So
also no Jared Goff. I mean, so, you know, these aren't as strong as they would be if Goff was playing, but
that's why they're punt plays.
Super cheap.
Yeah, guys that could have big upside or could hit based on what their price point is. John Brown, $3,600. Richie James, $3,100. Byron Pringle and Garrett Dieter. Pringle, $3,900. Dieter, $3,000, as cheap as you can get.
They may start for the Chiefs in this game.
I hope so.
That in mind, yeah.
I hope so. And from that standpoint, yeah, you also have Marquez Callaway, $3,200, taking on the Panthers. So a lot of, like you guys have both said, a lot of punt options if you want to go stars and scrubs, understanding that you may have to do a little bit of a finagling to get the right people in your lineup. These are some guys to figure out and keep in mind as you're doing that process. All right, let's talk about some tight ends.
Let's do it.
All right, Darren Waller. Obviously, we know that Travis Kelce is likely to sit this week. I don't believe it has officially been said yet, but Travis Kelce will likely sit this week. Darren Waller, $7,100, the most expensive tight end on the board. Still worth it to you, Mike Clay, at $7,100 for Waller.
He is for sure. We've been I featured him a lot this season because he's just been a good value all year. He's just he doesn't get quite the respect he should as some of these other star tight ends, and it shows up in his price here at DraftKings. I have him projected for 3 more fantasy points than any other tight end in this slate. He has 112 or more yards in 3 of his past 4 games, 28.8 fantasy points per game during that span. So that just blows away his expected total at 7,100. 9.0 targets per game this season. He's 7 or more in 11 of 15 games. Just, I mean, getting that out of your tight end is unbelievable. It's kind of a mid-range matchup here going up against Denver. They're missing a lot of their cornerbacks. I've talked about that. I talked about that on the other podcast. They're top 8 in completion percentage and yards per target allowed to tight ends this season, but just sets up really well for the Raiders passing game. Derek Carr is a fine option, a quarterback as well, but Waller's in good shape here to finish up this season strong.
Heck yeah. Al, this one hurts a little bit, but I'm on the same page as you. Irv Smith Jr. taking on the Detroit Lions. The thing is, Irv Smith is only $3,900 at tight end, so definitely a cheaper tight end, but there seems to be a lot of upside here again, taking on the Lions.
Yeah, we're attacking touchdown upside and touchdown expectation here. So Smith saw 9 targets last week. I'm not expecting 9 targets again this week. But without Dalvin Cook, that's a lot of inside the 5 and red zone usage that has just kind of blown away on us. So now some of that is going to trickle to Thielen, who's leading the league in terms of end zone targets. It's also going to go towards Irv Smith Jr. And Detroit allows the 3rd most red zone drives per game at 3.9. Daniel? It's not your fault. Nope. They also allow a league high 2.9 points per drive, 33.9% worse than the league average. And they're allowing a touchdown on 10.6% of tight end targets, the 2nd highest rate in the league. Daniel, it's not your fault.
Thank you.
But we're going to target the Detroit Lions.
I mean, listen, in week 9 against the Lions, Irv Smith had 2 touchdowns in that game as well. So understanding, like you said, I don't expect a massive target share from him given all of that. Mm-hmm. However, no Dalvin Cook at the goal line, I could totally see Irv Smith getting a inside the 5, inside the 10 kind of a look to score a touchdown. So,
got it.
All right. A couple other ones we want to mention here. Evan Engram, $3,700. George Kittle, $6,000. I actually really like George Kittle at $6,000. You know, what we saw last week, he looked good. No Brandon Ayuk, no Debo Samuel. So other than that running game, it seems like he's going to be their primary pass catcher there.
Yep.
Noah Fant, $4,400, taking on Vegas. Hunter Henry, $4,300, taking on Kansas City. Again, like we said, no Keenan Allen. So that's not a bad price point for Hunter Henry taking on KC.
No doubt.
All right. Are you ready?
That's it. We're good. That's and you might be wondering why there's so many names this week. It's a huge slate, right? How
Massive
often do we
slate.
Get 16 games in the slate? And that's why we have so many names, a lot to choose from. But
15 games in the slate this week.
15 games, right.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday night football game. I don't know why I said that. But
that's okay.
Anyway.
Oh, buddy. I love you.
It's getting late in the season.
I would come over and give you a hug right now.
It's starting to. I'm gonna take.
Now
a nap.
It's starting.
I'm gonna take a nap soon.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you for lasting this long. All right, let's talk about. Like I said before, it is 8-8 in Mike Clay and I's head-to-head matchups. Mike, give us your Week 17 lineup.
All right. Here we go. Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Talked about him earlier. Running backs love this running back group. In fact, these are the three guys I wanted and basically forced them into the lineup. Jonathan Taylor, who we talked about against Jacksonville, DeAndre Swift against Minnesota, and Jeff Wilson against Seattle. Love that trio this week, and you can still do a lot with that. Otherwise, I have Devontae Adams, nonetheless, at wide receiver, even with that group against Chicago. Mike Williams, we broke him down against the Chiefs. Laviska Shenault against the Colts, super cheap and great. The guy's been seeing good volume as of late, and they're really starting to expand his role. You like to see that. I'm going back to the well at tight end. I'm doing it again. He's still 3K. Cole Kmet at some point will pay off. The volume is there. The air yards, the targets, the snaps, it's all there. It just hasn't happened yet, and all it takes is for him to catch one of them long passes,
yep,
and he's going to deliver. So love him at this price point. And, of course, locking in the Browns defense against Mason Rudolph and the Steelers at defense. They're one of the lowest-priced defenses, and they're facing Mason Rudolph. I mean, yeah, I'll take the Browns.
I actually tweaked my lineup mid-show after listening to Al. I mean, listen, here's the deal.
After listening to Al, okay.
Yeah, definitely not listening to you. Yeah. I was listening to Al. He came in and he said a bunch of stuff, and I was like, you know what? You're right. I need to find a way to get Jonathan Taylor in my lineup. So here is my new lineup for Week 17. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift at running back. My wide receivers are Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson to stack with Kirk Cousins. Dieter at wide receiver. That is my punt play. Irv Smith Jr. going to do that again with Kirk Cousins for the double stack there. Ty Johnson is my flex play with no Frank Gore. And I'm running the Texans there for my defense. Mm. So we got a little bit of overlap there.
A little bit, yeah.
Which is tough. You know, we like a lot of the same plays.
Best plays are the best plays, yeah.
Yeah,
like you putting Taylor in there after you saw that I had him, but okay.
I didn't see that you had him. I heard Al talk about how good he was, and Al changed my mind.
Likely excuse.
On Jonathan Taylor. So that's where we're at. Al, why don't you give us your weekly tournament lineup so that you can help the fine people win a little bit of money?
All right, so I went a completely different route here because I had Kirk Cousins also. I was like, well, we can't have three Kirk Cousins lineups. So I went a completely different route here. So I've got Lamar Jackson at quarterback. I believe he needs 92 rushing yards to be the first quarterback to run for 1,000 yards in two straight seasons. So an NFL record possibility there. Pairing him with Mark Andrews, bringing it back with T. Higgins. I've got Chris Carson, Josh Jacobs at running back. I'm going to use a secondary stack with Jacobs coming back with Jerry Jeudy. I've also got Nook Hopkins at wide receiver with a third correlation with Josh Reynolds in flex for only 3,200 and the New England Patriots defense against the New York MESS. Mess.
There you go.
This week 17 slate with there's a lot of variance going on here. I just feel like there's a lot of up and down. We're not really totally sure. So I'm excited to see the way that this plays out, understanding, you know, with some teams sitting, with injuries and stuff like that. There's a lot of guys that normally we would like that we're looking at backups for. So I'm excited about this slate.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, Al mentioned the record possibilities. Like, records may not matter much anymore if the NFL does, in fact, add another week to the schedule next season.
A lot of
records are going to be broken. So it's going to be interesting. And also, we'll have one extra show next season.
Yes, we will.
There you go.
That's exciting. And this season, just so that you guys know.
That's not official, by the way. Sorry. That's not official, but.
Correct.
The report suggests.
No, Mike Clay said it. It's totally going to happen.
Yeah, not breaking news.
Not breaking news here. Yeah.
Maybe if Field was here, maybe he could handle that. But all indications are there will be a 17th week added to the season.
There will be an 18th week of the CSS DFS podcast because we are going to come back and do this every week of the playoffs up until the Super Bowl. We might take the Pro Bowl off. I believe that, you know, normally we take off the Pro Bowl slate, but we're going to continue to do this. We're also going to have an awards show in a couple weeks for the season long. If you still want to listen to that and talk about all the guys that did well in fantasy or didn't do well, we'll do that. But guys, this has been a ton of fun. I am excited that we're bringing an end to the regular season. We're getting on to the playoffs, which is always a great time. It gets a lot more fun to be able to try to construct a lineup when you've got less teams to be able to choose from, and you got to find those spots that you can choose from. So I'm going to say goodbye here. Mike, anything you want to add? This is the end of 2020. This is the end of the regular season. I'm going to let you and Al, if you want to take a minute to say something, you're more than welcome to. If not, you don't have to.
Nope, I'm good. I'm ready to have a nap a little bit, get a little rest. And I'll be, a lot of my focus over the next month will be on a little, obviously, prep for next year, a little combine prep as well, but on just the DFS pod. So it's going to be fun to do that every single week. And wish you and Al, of course, and everyone else involved a happy new year. And but again, it's not... Like, it feels like we're wrapping up, you know, we're wrapping up the other show. We're not wrapping this one up. We still got a month to go. We got a lot of shows.
It's just the end of the year. I mean, December 31st, you know, so it's like, you know, I feel like we've all been waiting to get here. Al, you've been so great for us all season long. I feel like I just want to give you the floor. Go ahead and just say whatever you want to say, and I'll bleep out whatever can't be aired.
2020 was a long year. There's a lot of up and downs, especially during the football season, but at least we had a fantasy football season, so I'm very thankful for that. I'm looking very forward to 2021, and I hope that you guys have a very happy and safe New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And let's get back to some DFS this weekend and on into the playoffs. Thank you guys for listening. All the clicks this year, both on this podcast and all of our social media accounts. So appreciate the love, appreciate the support, and let's have a much better 2021 than 2020.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We're going to end it there. Don't forget to love each other. We love you guys. Please be safe. Please be safe. Please be safe over New Year's. If you guys are driving anywhere, if anything is happening, just please be aware and be safe with what you're doing. We want to be able to talk with you guys next week. We want you here listening to this podcast. So just please be safe. All right. We love you guys.
You're in the 06010.